Amen. Well, as I shared earlier, God placed the word upon my heart I want to share, and I'm not a long speaker. Matter of fact, it reminds me of a story I heard about. How many remember Muhammad Ali? Amen. And this is actually a true story. He was actually on a cross-country flight from New York to L.A., and in the middle of the flight, they experienced tremendous turbulence, and the plane was being bumped around, and the pilot got on the intercom like normal and says, "Will everybody please fasten your seatbelt?" So now the stewardess were going on the aisle, and they were telling people, "Make sure your seatbelt is fastened." And they come up to Muhammad Ali, and he noticed that his seatbelt wasn't on. And the stewardess says, "Sir, will you please fasten your seatbelt?" And he looked up at her, and he says, "Ma'am, Superman don't need a seatbelt." And she looked back at him and says, "Sir, Superman don't need a plane either. Fasten your seatbelt." Amen? So fasten your seatbelts. All right, I'm going to be kind of quick here, but I just want to kind of share what the Lord put upon my heart. Amen. Can I share one more story quickly? All right. How many know that laughter is like medicine for the soul? All right. Hopefully, you know, I did a service one time in Long Island at my old church there. And at the end of the service, I was in back and, you know, greeting people. And some woman came up to me and she goes, "Pastor Bob, I love when you preach." I said, "Oh, thank you." And she goes, "Nobody makes me laugh like you do." And I say, "Oh," could have been, you know, great word, deep word, you know. But let me kind of make you laugh here, just in case you get disappointed with the word. Amen? Here, this is about an undercover Christian. All right, a friend in front of me was coming out of church one day, and the preacher was standing at the door, as he always did, to shake hands. He grabbed my friend by the hand and pulled him aside. Then the pastor said to him, "You need to join the army of the Lord." The friend replied, "I'm already in the army of the Lord, Pastor." The pastor questioned him, "How come I don't see you except at Christmas and Easter?" He whispered back, "I'm in the Secret Service." How many heard this story on the whale and the young girl? Nobody? Good. A little girl was talking to her teacher about whales. The teacher said it was physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human because even though it was a very large mammal, its throat was very small. The little girl stated, "Well, Jonah was swallowed by a whale." Irritated, the teacher reiterated that a whale cannot swallow a human. It was physically impossible. The little girl said, "Well, listen, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah." And the teacher said, "What happens if Jonah went to hell?" And then she said, "Then you ask him." Here's the last one. Here we go. I got a whole phone of them. This is an 80-year-old woman getting married for the fourth time. An 80-year-old woman was recently married to her fourth husband. A reporter questioned the occupation of her newly acquired husband. She replied that he owned a funeral home. Curious about the other husbands, the reporter asked, "What about their occupations?" The woman paused for a while and stated that her first husband was a banker. Second one was madly in love, and he was a circus master. The third one was a minister. So puzzled by her answers, he replied, "None of these people have anything in common. Why did you marry them?" She stated that she married number one for the money, number two for the show, number three to get ready, and number four to go. Amen. Praise God. Let me open up in a word of seriousness, not in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for, God, I just thank you for, what a great church here, Lord. I thank you for Pastor Mark and the leadership. I thank you for the wonderful worship, God, as you entered us into your presence, Lord God. I thank you for the testimonies of the men, Lord God, and Dave with the song. And Father, I just pray for these next few moments that you would be glorified, that this word that you've given me, Lord God, you would minister to those you need to minister to, I pray. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen. There was a story out years ago, and it was a true story. It was actually in the Daily Bread, and it was about a famous zoo in Heidelberg, Germany. The zoo in Germany purchased a great brown bear from a traveling circus. Now, all of his life, this big creature had been locked up in a 12-by-12-foot cage. Every hour of the day, his head would sway back and forth as it would pace out in the cage, 12 foot one way and 12 foot the other way. And, you know, it drank water out of a basin. People were abusing it. And, you know, people were feeding, giving it chop meat with glass in it. And finally, as a result of all this abuse, the bear was taken from the circus that it was in. Some people found out about it. They purchased the bear and they sent it to Heidelberg, Germany, which was an open preserve where animals would be able to run freely. And they brought this bear there, and as they brought the cage out, and they put the cage out into all this open land and all this open fields, and they opened the door of the cage, the bear paced one way 12 feet and the other way 12 feet and wasn't going out the door. It wouldn't leave that cage. And finally, they tried everything to get it out. So finally, what they thought about, they got a big rod, a big stick or whatever. They put a rag on it. They doused it in gasoline. They put it on fire, and they actually used the fire to force the bear out. And no sooner they forced the bear out, they pulled the cage away. Now, they thought that this bear, as that cage was pulled away, would be able to experience all this open preserve and all this open land. But what the bear did was this, and this is a true story. It paced 12 feet one way and then 12 feet the other way and continued to pace that, never experiencing the freedom that was offered to that bear when he was let out of his cage. Amen. And this morning, I want to just talk to you briefly on that same topic, amen, of freedom, amen. And see, the problem with the bear was this. It wasn't the physical conditions that was in. It wasn't his environment. He was stuck, and he was stuck in his mind, amen. So this morning, I want to turn to, if you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. If you brought your Bible, say amen. If you didn't bring them, say, oh, me. Oh, you got your phone. You're like me. I got everything on my phone. John chapter 5, verse 5 through 1. I will talk to you on freedom, amen? Because that's what this ministry is about. Turning Point is a ministry about freedom, amen? Now, Webster defines freedom two specific definitions. One, exemption or power or control of another, all right? Exemption of power or control of another. Or the second one was privilege and immunities in choice or in action. And see, like that bear in the story, the power of his surroundings dictated over his mind. And though he had the choice to enjoy all this open freedom of this beautiful Heidelberg Zoo, the prison of his mind kept him locked into the confinement of his future. And I think if we were all to get real honest with ourselves, we all would kind of say, you know, there's some areas in my mind that I kind of got stuck in. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, stuck. You try to get out of it, you try to think something, and you're still stuck in that area. I know for my life, for years in my addiction, I was a failure. Everything I did was a failure. And one of the things I had to get control of when I got born again, when I came to know the Lord, was I had to make sure that that mental, that stinking thinking that I had of being a failure didn't carry over into my Christian walk. Amen. Let's look at what our text says. I'm going to read it briefly. Sometimes later, this is talking about the man by the pool of Bethesda. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem, one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, was a pool, which in Aramaic was called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five colored colonnades. There, a great number of disabled people used to lie blind and lame, the paralyzed. One who had been there, an invalid for over 38 years, seen Jesus coming. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned of the condition that this individual was in, he asked him a question. And I believe God asks us all this a question when we give our lives to him. And the question is this. He said to this invalid, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he began to walk. Now, right at the beginning of this message, I want to point out a couple key facts. Amen. The first key fact I want to talk about is the time of this and the account of this in Scripture. Amen. It was in Jerusalem at the time of the festival. So, now why was that important for this? Why you got to emphasize that it was in Jerusalem at the time of the festivals? It's important because it was a time when the Jews would come together to celebrate. Why is that important? It's important because at many times, we as people, and I'm talking just, I'm one of you, at times feel like, well, it's really not that important that I go to church. You know, it's summertime, I could miss today, or I got to do this today, or I got to do that today. And oftentimes we can make church not a necessity, not a priority that we need to be there. Listen, it was the time of the festival. It was at that time that the people would gather together. It was a Jewish festival. It was a religious festival. It was a time where they come together, and it was the exact time when Jesus was at the festival, and he had an encounter with that man. And I would share with you, and I would suggest to you that it's at times when we gather together, where two or more are gathered, that Scripture says, "I am there in what? Your midst." Amen? I mean, it amazes me, Pastor Mark, from our church. I mean, one Sunday we'll have a lot of people, then the next Sunday 30 or 40 people will be gone. And I always say, I said, where did they go? You know, what did they do? You know, and then you don't see it for a couple weeks. Then they pop in again. And I believe it's because they don't see the importance of gathering together, not forsaking the fellowship, because it's at that time where I believe God wants to work and God wants to do miracles. Amen. Scripture exhorts us not to forsake the fellowship, amen? And I believe it's at times when we gather together and we all come together where God's able to heal individuals and through the worship or as we did with Paulie, calling Paulie up and praying together as a body, amen? See, I don't know where you might be at in your life today, but if you are looking for freedom, I will suggest to you it's at church, it's at meetings like this where God is able to move and set individuals free. There's just such a dynamic principle. When two or more come together, amen, through worship and through prayer and coming together and believing what God desires to do, amen. It's at meetings like this when we worship, then we pray, and then the word is preached where God is able to move and where deliverances are going to take place, amen. That's why you'll hear me and the guys probably hear me time and time again. I share the importance of and encourage people that you know if that the church is the place, getting together is a place where we could get free and find freedom with each other and pray for each other and find God's deliverance to be exhibited in those times, amen. The second thing we need to know about this right at the beginning was the length of time that this individual was in his condition. The Bible says he was in that condition for 38 years. Okay, 38 years. And as I was thinking about that, I believe God just showed me a couple things. The first thing was this. First of all, the average lifespan of an individual back at that time was 42 years old. So that told me that this man was at the end of his life. Amen. He 38, you figure it out. 42 is the average lifespan. You know what I mean? He was at the end of his life. But another thing I thought about was this, and is the fact that what better individual for Jesus to set to do a miracle with an individual who's been bound for so long? It'll be evident when that individual either sees or walks or who's a heroin addict or a drug addict or an alcoholic and find themselves free as a result of Jesus coming into their lives and ministering to their need. Amen. 38 years he was stuck in that condition. 38 years he was dependent upon others. 38 years he was frustrated. 38 years he was disappointed. 38 years he was stuck. How many could identify that it's been years that you might be stuck in an area? Let me see your hands. Hands that go all up, man. You know, I put two up, but then the mic will go up in the air, amen. Another thing of importance we need to know is that besides this man's age, was the Bible says that the fact that he was hurting. When I thought about that, I said, well, you know, being a crippled back then is not really like it is not. Not that I minimize it. It's horrible not to be able to walk, but it's a little bit different now than it was back then. See, back then, you were dependent upon everybody. You know, this guy couldn't go nowhere unless someone dragged him to where he had to go, amen? So it was a whole different ballgame back then. But yet, Jesus singled this guy out at the end of his life, amen? And as a result of that, God exhibited a miracle through his life. But also what encouraged me when I read this story was Jesus' concern for an old guy. How many old guys we got? This is a pretty young church, but how many old guys? Let me see old people. All right? Pastor Mark got his hand right down there. Amen. He's still young. Praise God. Amen. But listen, it encouraged me that, listen, Jesus passed by all the people in this pool area, and he singled out this old guy who was stuck in his condition for such a long time. And that was my testimony when I came to the Lord 33 years ago. I was a heroin addict. I was stuck in my condition. Stuck, man. I didn't know nothing, but I was a mess. I mean, people would make bets on me how long I'd live and when I'd OD, and it was just a mess, and I was stuck in that condition, and I tried detox programs. I was a day top. I tried all the different programs to get free. Nothing could set me free. Nothing could get me unstuck until 33 years ago, someone told me about an individual who was able to loosen up that stuckness or the glue, amen, and his name was Jesus Christ. And listen, God came into my life, friends. He set me free. Am I perfect? No. Some of the guys will tell that, right? Amen? You know, but I do know this. God set me free 33 years ago from heroin addiction, and I've never went back to it. Amen? He's able to do that. Praise God for that. Amen? Now, the Bible goes on to say that there was five alcoves of young and old people, and I looked up this morning. So what was an alcove, right? Basically, what it was a shaded area. okay? A shaded area where people would go not only to get into the pool, but also to get out of the heat, amen? And how many know that, listen, if you're in a hot, a heated situation, you know where you need to go? To the greatest shade of all, and his name is Jesus Christ, amen? You get under his, listen, you get under his shadow, and man, he'll take care of you, he'll comfort you, amen? He'll protect you from the storms of this life, amen? Storms of this life. But there was a reason, another reason why I believe he singled out this old guy, because I believe he's seen the cry of this guy's heart, amen? I believe he's seen the obedience of his faith and the usefulness of his life. Jeremiah 29:11, a scripture verse I love that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord's, plans not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Amen. And then Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus in advance. And God prepared us in advance for works to do." Amen. So I thank God that no matter where you might be in your walk right now, no matter how long you might be in your condition, no matter how stuck you might feel, I thank God if God sees the cry of your heart, amen, God sees the usefulness of your life, and God desires to set you free, amen? Can you say amen for that? And then the third account, and the most important account, I believe, that is shared here is in the word and in the meaning of Bethesda, which means mercy, amen? Now, mercy has been defined as God's help to the miserable. There was a story that I read years ago, and it was about this famous artist, amen, a famous artist, and he was doing a portrait of a famous individual, a very important individual years ago, and he would do the, you know, he'd go there, and he would do the, you know, he'd do the painting, he would do the tracing, he'd go back to his studio, and he'd fill in where he had to fill in, and finally, he was done with this art, he was done with this portrait. And he goes to this individual's house, and he knocks on the door, and the individual lets him in, and he gets in front of this rich individual, and he was so proud of his work, he had the thing veiled, and as he unveiled this picture, this portrait of the individual says, he looked at it, he goes, "Sir, this picture, this painting does me no justice." And the artist looked at him and says, "Sir, with a face like that, you don't need justice, you need mercy, amen?" But really, how many know we need not God's justice, but we need God's mercy, amen? We need God's mercy. And listen, that's where this man, this invalid for 38 years was. That's the condition. He was in a bad condition. He didn't need God's justice on his life. He needed God's mercy upon his life. And that day he encountered Jesus Christ, amen? And when he encountered Jesus, he had an opportunity, all right? He had an opportunity to identify what healing personified in Christ. But what did he do, the Bible says? When Jesus said to him, "Do you want to get well?" He made an excuse. He said, "I got nobody to put me into the water to get healed. When I want to get in, someone goes in front of me." And could I suggest to you that if you really want to get free, if you're stuck in an area in your life where you really want to get free, the first thing we got to do, and I'll say we, is we got to stop making excuses. All right, this man was making an excuse. "You don't know my environment." No, we got to stop making excuses and recognize that Jesus is able to set us free. The Bible says, "Whom the Son sets free is not only free, free indeed." Amen? God is able to set you free from whatever area that you might be stuck in here today. Amen? In closing, Jesus said to this individual three specific things that I want to close with. Amen? I want to close with when he said this. John 5:8, that Jesus said to him this, if you want freedom, and I believe this is what the Holy Spirit is going to say to us here this morning. If you're stuck in an area, all right, whatever, and I'm not interested in the area, listen, Jesus knows the area. If you want freedom, if you're stuck in an area, he would say to you, the first thing he would say to you is this, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. We have to make the first move. Amen? So wherever you're stuck in, you got to make the first move. What's the first move? You acknowledge the fact that, listen, Jesus, I'm stuck. I need to get free, amen? Secondly, he said to him this, pick up your mat and walk, amen? When picking up your mat and walk was this, basically he was saying no longer let that mat dictate, all right, your condition, that mat. See, that mat was that individual's whole life. He made his living by that mat. He laid on that mat. He slept on that mat. Jesus, if we are looking for freedom, if we want to get unstuck from whatever got us stuck, we got to listen. We got to not only recognize and realize that it's Christ, we got to acknowledge it, but secondly, we need to pick up our mat and no longer allow that area to define who you are, amen, but allow your life to define, allow Christ's word to define where you're going and what he has for you, amen. You got to pick up your mat and walk. And then finally, he said this. And he said this is what I would say to the turning point guys, along with everybody else here today. If you really want freedom, if you're stuck and you really need God to set you free, okay, you acknowledge it, amen. You pick up your mat, meaning this, no longer that mat's gonna dictate who you are. So if you were a heroin addict, no longer being a heroin addict is gonna dictate your life anymore, or a drug addict. But you're gonna allow that addiction, all right, you're gonna allow what the enemy meant for evil. You're going to allow God to turn that around for the good. And God's going to use that mat as your testimony, amen? And wherever you might be stuck in here today, whatever that area is, amen, God will use that area where you get freedom in to be a testimony, amen? What the enemy meant for evil, God now has turned it around for the good. But then the last thing he said was this. He says, go and sin no more. Go. Guys, the turning point, go. You want freedom? He's able to unstuck you. Amen. You could allow him to take that mat that you've been carrying around, or your addiction, and allow God to turn that around as he's done in my life. And now I'm able to bless people as what God did for me, they could do for you. And also you here today, whatever that area that you might be stuck in, no longer is going to define who you are. But you're going to allow God to turn that around. So now you could be a minister. You could be a blessing and minister to others. Amen. Stay with me here this morning. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering. My altar call is just very simply this. If you're here today and with every hand raised, raise it if you need to, with your hand raised saying, you know something, Pastor Bob, I'm stuck in an area. I need to get you. Whatever it could be in your thinking, you know, wherever it is, you know, I need God to free me from that. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you, amen. If you're stuck in an area, hands are going up, amen. If there's an area in your life that you feel stuck in, raise them nice and high. Amen? Amen? Now, what I'd like you to do is this. I'd like you to come forward because I want to pray for you up here. Amen? Come forward. If you raise your hand, come forward. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed in front of man. Amen? Allow God. I always share this. The altar to me is like an operating table. I believe God operates at the altar call, the Holy Spirit. Amen? So there's an area that you might be stuck in. It could be, again, in your thinking. It could be in your lifestyle, whatever it is, amen. I believe as we're going to pray, all right, we're acknowledging it first before God. We're acknowledging it, amen. Secondly, what we're going to do, we're going to allow God to take that area, whatever it was. It doesn't matter what it is. Nobody needs to know what it was, but we need to take that area now, allow God to turn it around so that now we could be a blessing. Or we could use that very area we've been free of to be able to minister to others so that they can find freedom too. And then third, and this is the most important, that we don't, like he said to that invalid, right? Go and sin no more. Amen. Don't abuse the grace of God. Don't go and sin no more. Amen. One last thing. And I got to do this. And if you're here today, And you don't know Jesus, you've never really surrendered. You know, John 3:16, a Bible verse that everybody knows, we memorize. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him, the proper translation for that word believe is to commit, surrender, and put one's trust in. If I was to walk on the street right now, 9 out of 10 people would say, I believe in God, and I believe in Jesus. But out of that 9 out of 10, very few have really committed, trusted, and surrendered their life to Christ. So if you're here today and you've never done that and you'd like to do that, whatever you had bowed, I want to pray for you, amen. But if you're here, whatever you had bowed now, I want you to raise your hand. I just want to pray. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. We'll pray it all together. Thank you, my brother. Anyone else? My brother? Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Let's all pray with them together, amen. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to save me from my sins. Jesus, according to your word, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that I will confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, I am saved. Jesus, this day I choose to commit my life to trust you with my life and to surrender my life to your lordship in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Now let's pray. I want to pray now. Whatever area, I like what Pastor Mark did, or who, I guess you had a ministry that did it too. Whatever area in you where you know you're stuck in, I want you to put in your hand. And then I want to pray, and I just want you to release it. Amen. I want you to release it to God. Whatever area. Let's go. Father, you see, you know every area in our lives that we might be stuck in. Lord God, we don't want to be like that bear in a 12-foot cage, Lord God, when you have so much freedom for us, Lord God. So, Father, right now, by an opening of our hand, we release it to you. Father, we release it to you, Lord God. God, and we choose, God, this day, Lord God, to pick up our mat, whatever that area was, Lord. And no longer that area is going to define who we are. Whether it was alcohol, drugs, or immorality, whatever it was, we're not going to let that define no longer who we are. But, Lord God, we're going to let your word define who we are. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen. We are victorious. We are not the tail. We are the head. So, Father, seal this word in our hearts. But most of all, I pray, God, Lord, and this for every single one of us, that, Lord, we would never abuse the grace of God. God, help us not no longer. Whatever that is, God, no longer go back to that area to get stuck in again. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Mark.
Thank you, bro. Amen. So, guys, I just want to close up with sharing one story, and really for the Turning Point guys, but those of you maybe haven't heard it in our church. But we have a good friend of ours from IHOP, not the pancake place, but the prayer house in Kansas City. We like the pancake guys too, but this young lady that is, we've partnered with her as well, she's just awesome. She'll be here in November with us. But the last time she was here, she told a story, true story. So Pastor Bob likes telling a story. So this is a story from the Korean War. And there was a platoon out, and this young man got wounded, and they brought him back to the medical tent, and they had a tag system in the tents there. And it was blue, yellow, and red. So blue tag was pretty much like, you know, stop being such a baby, walk it off. Yellow tag was tagged and said, this guy needs medical attention, but he's going to be okay. And a red tag was, give him a morphine shot, he's not going to make it. So this young man was wounded in battle one day. They brought him into the tent. The doctor came in. The nurse was behind him. And the doctor says, red tag this guy. He's not going to make it. So the nurse tags him, and then another nurse would come in and do whatever they had to do. So this next nurse comes in, and this man's conscious. He's conscious, right? And he looks up at this nurse, and he says, please tell my, man, it messes me up every time, man. He says, please tell my mom and my dad I did the best I could. And the nurse, something just pricked this nurse's heart. Her heart just broke. She couldn't do it. So she takes the red tag off of this soldier and puts a yellow tag on him, saying that he needs medical attention. Now, knowing that she could get court-martialed for doing this. So they ship this young man off, and she never sees him again. And a couple of months go by, and this whole entourage comes into the camp, and this five-star general gets out. And he walks into the medical tent, and he says, I was told that this happened and that this young man was, the tag was changed and everything else. And he says, I demand to know who did it. And finally, this nurse, she knows it's her, and she comes forward and she says, she just says, it was me. I'm the one that did it. And this five-star general falls on his knees and he says, thank you, because that was my son. That was my son, and he made it. And so this young woman friend of ours, she shares this story with us, and she says, what the Lord told me about your church, about River Valley, is that she says, this is a tag changing church. That you're going to have folks come in that have been red tagged by their family. They've been red tagged by the culture. They've been red tagged by their friends. They've been red tagged by everybody. But she says, you are going to walk in the power of God, anointing of God, where you're going to take those red tags off those people and you're going to put yellow tags on them. You need a little help, bro, but you're going to make it. Come on, church. How many of y'all can raise your hand and say, I need a little help, but I'm going to make it? Amen. And you know, the Bible says, man, that hope will abound in our heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I just pray for you, man, just one more time? Amen. Let's bow your heads, gentlemen. Come on, guys, reach your hands out to our friends here. Father, we just want to lay hands quickly on Pastor Bob, and I just release an anointing strength on this man. I know some personal things you shared with me, bro. I'm not going to share those out loud, but Father, we just bless this man. It's hard work. It's hard work. And Lord, nobody, if you've never stood in the pulpit, you don't know how hard it is. If you've never been responsible for people's lives, you don't know the burden that we carry. So I just pray grace on this man of God right now. Grace on his wife. Grace on his home, Lord. Grace on his finances in Jesus' name, Father. Lord, I'm asking not just a ministry increase, but a lot of personal increase of finances. I just feel, bro, that you're just making it, man. But I just feel like God's saying, I'm bringing a blessing on you. You've been faithful. I'm bringing a blessing on you, says the Lord. Money is coming your way, says the Lord. Just releasing that burden, bro, that financial burden. God says, there's a breakthrough coming. There's a breakthrough coming. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And bro, I just listen to the Holy Spirit. I just feel like even, like God's saying, in your secret place, man, and I hope this is all right, bro. I hope we're close enough, but I feel like you've almost red tagged this ministry at times. You've almost looked at it. You put a red tag on it and say, man, this thing's dying. This thing's dying. Just put a morphine shot in it. But the Lord says, no. No. The Lord says, this thing needs some help. But it ain't dying. So, Father, I just decree it now that there is no more red tag on this ministry. It's not dying. But we release life into it, God, right now. We release life into it right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for Aaron's and hers that are going to come around and lift his arms up, oh God. Lord, men and women, God, that will partner, churches that will partner, God. Lord, that this burden will be lifted off this man of God in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for all the rest of these men right here. Jesus' name, I thank you for yellow tagging these men. They need some help, but they're going to make it. Need some help, bro, but you're going to make it. Amen. Thank you for this young man, man. You need some help, bro, but you're going to make it. You're not a red tag, bro. You're not a red tag. Thank you for this brother right here. You're not a red tag, bro. You're going to make it. Amen. You're going to make it, bro. You're going to make it, bro. You're going to make it, bro. You're not a red tag, bro. You're going to make it. Amen. Bro. You're going to make it. You're not a red tag, man. Amen. Paul, you need some help, but you're going to make it, bro. Amen. Amen. You need some help, bro, but you're going to make it. Amen. Father, we just thank you right now that you are an ever-present help in times of need. And Lord, forgive us for being prideful that we think that we don't have times of need, because I remember the Holy Spirit spoke to me years ago. He says, son, there's never a moment of your day that you don't need help. Amen. So, Father, it's not just those days that we think we're doing good and we say, I'm good, Lord, I don't need any help. He says, oh, man, you need more help today than on the days you know you need help. So, Father, we just thank you, God, for this awesome ministry. Thank you for the friendship that's building here. In Jesus' name, we bless these men. Are these all the guys you got, Bob?
A couple guys are out, yeah.
Amen. We just bless all the men that didn't make it this morning in Jesus' name. We release that truth that they are not a red tag. They're going to make it.
Hallelujah.
They're going to make it. Church, I want to do one more thing before we break and have some lunch together. Hope y'all can stay. But and those of you who've been with us, you know I don't do this very much. But I want to take up an additional offering to bless this ministry. If you want to write a check out, if you got cash, whatever you want to do, write a check, please, to River Valley. We will just get, we'll cut a check to Turning Point. But I want to do two different things here, church. All right, either way, it's going to go through the books on our, so we do it all right. But if you'd like to give something directly to Pastor Bob, please write out a separate check or. Get an envelope and designate that to Pastor Bob. And church, it don't matter how much it is. If it's a dollar, it's a dollar. Amen. It's the fact that we are going to sow some seed faith into this man of God who's been doing this for a number of years and been faithful in doing it. Amen. So could we just, is the basket, where the basket at? On the app. So if you guys didn't hear that, because I couldn't hear it, On our app, Alex is saying that he can pop up a tab, a new tab on our app for a couple of weeks. So if you don't know, if you guys don't know, we have an app for our church. If you can download it on the Apple Store or Google Play, River Valley. Is it River Valley CC? River Valley CC. If you'd like to do that, guys, if you don't have cash or check today or whatever, a couple of weeks, you need to get paid or whatever you need to do. Amen. Because the Bible says that when we bless people, God will bless us. Amen. So I want to just take up an offering one more time here. JP's bringing the basket around. So again, please, if you'd like to give something either to Turning Point or to Pastor Bob or to both, please just designate that and we'll make sure that we get it squared away properly and bless these guys. Amen. Once you come.